Hey guys, you don't sell anything on here. So the only thing I ask is that you help spread the word on this podcast so we can help more entrepreneurs make more money, have more time, and create the freedom they want in their lives. But the only way we can do that is if you rate, review, and share this thing. My single ask for you is to leave a review. It'll take about 20 seconds, and it would mean the world to me. And most importantly, it may help another entrepreneur.
Yeah. Getting married has made you, I think, around like $200,000, something like that.
Yeah.
Elaborate on it.
Best decision ever.
Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast, where I share how to get more clients, increase sales, build a business that runs without you, and the many mistakes I've made on the journey. So hope you get value and subscribe.
Welcome back to another episode of Keys of Currency, where we interview high-level entrepreneurs doing high-level things. Today, I got a very special guest. This guy is a high-level entrepreneur doing special things. He has a cleaning business. He's in real estate. He does Airbnb. I'm excited to do this interview because we get to kind of go behind the scenes a little bit, ask some questions, get some details, and get to know this person. So without further ado, please help me welcome Logan. How do I say your last name?
Manzanares.
There we go. So Logan, man, welcome to the show, bro.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me on, and just appreciate you asking me.
Yes, sir. So first thing I want to ask you, man, is what got you into entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I got into entrepreneurship on accident. I was a personal trainer, and I had been at the gym I worked for about 2.5 years, and I got to this point where I just was tired of my boss, the guy who owned the gym, was just giving me like the cold shoulder on how I train my clients, right? So this was like 2013, and this was before like powerlifting and strength training and Olympic lifting, all that stuff was really big inside the fitness centers. They had their own little section of the fitness industry, like their own gym. Mm-hmm. But inside like the main commercial gyms, like you'd go to like 24/7 Fitness or Lifetime Fitnesses, like there was not any strength training areas mm-hmm. like there is now. And so I was kind of the black sheep of all the trainers. And so my clients liked to deadlift. They liked to like lift heavy weights. And my boss didn't like it. The other trainers didn't like it. And so I was just looking for an environment that I could actually train my clients in that mm-hmm. would give them value, but also I didn't feel like I was getting looked at, you know, with that nasty look in your eye.
Yeah.
Right? And so at the place I lived, there was no other gyms outside of the big fitness centers outside of CrossFit's, right? And I wasn't gonna do CrossFit, and I really wanted to work for somebody else, but there was nobody who had a strength training facility.
Mm-hmm.
So I did what any naive 25-year-old kid did, is I started my own gym.
Oh, wow. So what was that experience like?
Yeah, it was funny because I can look back on it and think that once I made the decision and I found the place that I was going to go rent out, I was like, I'm going to be successful. Right? Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to crush this. Like, I know I'm going to do really good. And if I would have known what I know now, back then I would not have started, to be completely honest with you. Like, I was so naive. I was so oblivious. Justin, I didn't have a marketing plan. I didn't have a sales process. I knew, or I thought I knew, how to train clients. And that's about all I knew how to do. And so once I decided to leave and I told my current clients that I was leaving, half of them came with me, half of them stayed. And I was like, oh, shit. What do I do to get new clients? And I hadn't even thought about that. So for the first couple of years, I just really focused on the current clients I had and tried to develop my relationship with them even more and make sure they didn't leave me, because if they left me, then I would have no business because I had no channel to bring new clients in.
And what year was this that you started that business?
I started in 2013.
So yeah. You're almost 9 years into the entrepreneurship then.
Yep.
Wow. So I think the biggest takeaway on that, though, is like a lot of people won't even get past go when they have those type of dreams and aspirations, right?
Yeah.
You took action.
Yeah.
You went out there and you said, I'm going to go out here, whether I fail or not, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm gonna make it happen.
Yeah.
So what kind of lessons did you learn opening that first business?
I learned all the lessons, right? It was, as much as I say that it was a struggle for the first, probably the first 3.5 years. So it was like 2017 till I finally got some traction. I learned all the lessons that I needed to learn, right? And I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have somebody kind of guiding me. I never had anybody in my family who was in entrepreneurship. So it was me just learning by doing, and by doing a lot of things wrong, and by testing. And it's not necessarily the way I would recommend, but that was just my path, right? Yeah. So I learned all the lessons. I learned that if you build it, right, they will not come. you actually need a system and a process to have them come to the door.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I still remember this moment where I was, you know, maybe a year or two in, and I was sitting there after I had had this gal who just walked in to the gym, and I tried to sell her on the gym, and she didn't buy. I just thought to myself, I was like, man, if I could just have clients from, you know, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. every single day, I would be so happy, right? Like, that's where I was in my life. I wanted to train clients, right? I was mm-hmm. a trainer. I just wanted to help people. I wanted to train people. And I didn't have that skill. And so as I eventually got that skill, I looked back on it. I was like, then I had all these clients. I was like, I don't want to train anymore, right? Now I want to teach somebody else how to train.
Right.
And so I think ultimately.
Sorry, guys, for that little intervention. We had some loud music in the background, so we're going to pick up where we left off. So, Logan, man, what kind of lessons did you learn from starting your first business?
Yeah, I think I learned all the lessons, right? I learned that you need a marketing sales system. You need your marketing and sales system. You also need fulfillment. And you think you're good at fulfillment until you figure out your marketing and sales, and you realize that you then have a fulfillment issue as well, because you become the fulfillment and you have all these people. You need to realize, you need to learn how to hire people, how to scale. So it took me 3.5 years to really figure out that it wasn't just about having a product, right? That's where I was. And when I started my gym, I was like, okay, I'm a personal trainer. I'm good at personal training. But I failed to realize that to be good at business, it was more than just having the fulfillment, just having the product itself.
Yeah. So when you got into this, like when you started your first business, you basically learned how to run a business through like trial and fire then.
Yeah.
Through opening that first business, right?
Yep. I had no mentor. I didn't read books. I didn't do anything. Like, I was just trying to figure it out, right? Just very, very oblivious. Much different than I do business now.
Gotcha. So where did that lead you? So after you started that first business, you learned all those lessons. Like, what was the next step after that?
Yeah, it was probably just out of like struggle and desperation. And like, I finally came to my senses, like, okay, somebody probably knows how to do this, mm-hmm. right? So I got over myself thinking that I knew everything, which I clearly didn't based on my results. And so I started looking for coaching, looking for mentorship, looking for help. And again, at that time, it was like 2016 is when it really started. I ended up finding Russell Brunson and Robert Kiyosaki. And from there, I learned a little bit more about the marketing standpoint from Russell Brunson, right? He's the one who created ClickFunnels. I ended up buying my first course. It's like the first course I ever bought was like $1,000 course. And I remember I didn't have much money, so he offered PayPal financing for 6 months. So I literally put that $1,000 course on a PayPal financing and paid like $183 a month just because I didn't have that much money at the time. And I learned at least the foundations of marketing, like, oh, marketing and a sales funnel, and like there's actually a process to actually get people into my gym. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't quite enough for me to like get any real traction. And so, you know, I ran a couple of Facebook ads. I did a couple of things, but never really had any success. I kind of went away from it. So I was like, okay, I need to find someone more specific to the gym industry. And so at that time, the big player in the game was Bedros Koulian, who he had started a franchise called Fitbody.
Okay.
And so I was like, searched for as much of his free stuff as I possibly could online. And then he had a couple like courses that were a couple $100 I bought, like some of his cheaper stuff. And I was like probably a week or two away from like investing in his mastermind. So he had a mastermind called the Seven Figure Mastermind, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where like all the gym owners who apparently made seven figures, like that's the mentorship that they joined. And so I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to like take the next level or take the next step and join this mastermind. And then I was on Facebook in between training sessions, and I came across this ad where this other gym guru who I'd never heard of before pitched me that he could fill my gym up in 30 days. And I was like,
huh. That was a hook right there. You're like,
yeah. And he said it was, and he said for free. And I was like, very interested. And so what I did is I clicked on the ad and I started going over more than, you know, through the, some of the testimonials and through the other gym owners who had done the program. And I was like, dang, this thing actually seems like legit. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up getting on a call with someone on his team, and they qualified me. They asked me questions about my gym, and I was like, man, I'm not sure if I even qualify for this. And they're like, I think you might qualify for it. And so then they scheduled me a call 2 days later. It was like a Saturday morning with this guy named Alex, mm-hmm. right? So I'm sitting there on the floor of my girlfriend, she's not my wife, her living room, or excuse me, her bedroom floor. And this guy's telling me about this program called Gym Launch, and telling me about how he could fill my gym in 30 days, and kind of told me a little about the offer. And I was just like, got so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, like all the learning, all the things I learned before, like this is it. Like I knew, like at that moment, like this is the program. And we got through everything. He's like, all right, are you ready for the price? I was like, sure. He's like, it's $10,000. And my heart just sank. Because I literally, like, I had $10,000, but it was under my pillow in a Crown Royal bag. And I was, like, so scared to leave. Like, this was a $10,000 that I had saved up. And I had actually used $10,000 to start my gym up. And I had, like, replenished it. And I just kept it on my pillow. It was, like, I just, like, it was my safe money, right? It was my last money. And I sat there for probably a minute, legit a minute. Alex didn't say anything, and I said two words that like changed my life forever. I said, fuck it, let's do it. And there it was, right? And that was kind of that moment. And you know, if anybody who doesn't know, like it was Alex Hermosi, who now is big all over the place, but in 72 hours I had set up the whole system. I had got my Facebook ads running, and by the end of that week, I had sold, I think, 36 people at $500 a pop and made like $18,000 in my first week. And over that first month, I ended up selling 105 people and made over $50,000.
So that was life-changing for you. His program, was that more of like a course or a mentorship? What exactly was it?
Yeah, so it was an end-to-end marketing and sales and fulfillment system to fill your gym in 30 days. And so it was everything from how to set up your ClickFunnels to set up your Facebook ads to once they actually opt in, how do you get them into your gym? And then the sales process when they get into the gym, like what do you say to them, to the contracts, to like once they actually sign up, like here's the program that they sign up for, and here's the fulfillment side. And then how do you actually sign these people up as like long-term clients after that? Because it was a duration-based program. It was a six-week program, right? So it was wild, man. It was a wild ride. And as much as I love to share like the success and the progress we made that first month, and then after that, because we had to fulfill. So it was probably actually like 3 months of actual like fulfillment on that very first challenge that we did. Mm-hmm. It was the hardest time of my entire life. I grew the most. I woke up almost every single day so nervous, so scared, because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I had no idea. I had no idea what was going to happen. I was just going on faith and belief on this guy named Alex. I was like, I just trusted what he said, because I didn't know the program worked. I didn't know if the clients were actually going to get the results that I was promising them. I didn't have the experience. I hadn't ever like fulfilled the program. I didn't know all these people were going to actually stay on afterwards. And so for the first 90 days, I was uncomfortable every single day. There were so many days I wanted to quit, but I was pot committed. I couldn't, like my back was against the wall, but I wanted to. But that was like one of the greatest times of my life, because it forced me to grow. It forced me to become an entrepreneur. It forced me to learn the skill sets of sales and marketing. And then like, in order to do that many people, like I had to grow my team as well. And I had to like delegate and teach them things. And while it was hard, it accelerated my entrepreneur skills really, really fast.
Oh, big time, dude. Yeah. And I think that's an important thing to touch on, right? Is like so many entrepreneurs get into business just trying to wing it,
yeah.
right? They try to figure it out themselves. And it's such the wrong way to go about any type of business, the best thing that you can do is invest into a mentor.
Yeah.
Right? You want to find somebody that has proven concepts, proven capability, somebody that can show you A to Z how to take your business idea, your business niche up and running. Because a lot of people end up going back to a W-2 because they're trying to figure it out on their own.
Yeah.
But you did the smart thing by investing in a program and in yourself, really. And you found Alex and you said, listen, here's the money.
Yeah.
Teach me what to do. And it changed your life.
Yeah.
I think that's it's a very important thing to touch on. So with the gym business, right? What did you end up doing with that business? You still got the business today?
No. So we literally just sold at the beginning of this year.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, we had it for 8 or 9 years and we made lots of iterations, lots of changes along the way. But I call that the business that's like taught me it taught me business. Like that business taught me business, right? Going back on it, would I ever started a gym again? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Knowing what I know now, I would never start a gym just because I have different standards. I have different goals in my life. But that business, it taught me so much that I'm so grateful for it.
So do you have anything, like do you have your hands in anything in health and fitness as far as business goes?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Wow. So what are you doing right now then?
As far as business is concerned?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a residential cleaning business. That is like our active income business. Mm-hmm. And then we have our real estate business, which technically is our passive portfolio business, but it's we actively manage a lot of our properties, so it's very active as well. So those are kind of the two verticals that we're currently in.
Gotcha. So what was the next business you started right after the gym business?
So we started getting into real estate. So that was, we started the fitness business in 2013, and then we didn't buy our very first investment property till 2019.
Okay.
So we did, you know, 5-6 years of just fitness business, and we finally made enough money, started to stack cash.
Mm-hmm.
And we got into investment real estate the old-fashioned, traditional way, as boring as you possibly could. We found on-market properties, we put 20-25% down, and we got single-digit cash-on-cash returns.
Gotcha. Right?
But we were sitting on a couple $100,000 in cash. And so that's when we bought our first couple properties, and that was our first introduction into the real estate game.
Mm. Yeah. So where is that at today then? Like how many properties are we talking about? Or is it Airbnb, rentals? Like, yep. Tell me about the real estate business.
Yeah, so from there, we learned real quickly that although we were making good money, we weren't making the kind of money that we needed to make in order for us to invest in as much real estate as we wanted to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
So we got real, we started looking for coaching and mentorship in the real estate game of like, how do we actually acquire properties more efficiently, mm-hmm. more proactively? And so we invested with a mentor named Chris Krohn. We kind of learned his strategy of how he buys a property almost every single day. Mm-hmm. And that's by using partnerships. Like, that was cool. And we ended up paying him 6 figures to learn his system, be part of his mentorship. And then last year, I ended up joining Pace Morby's Sub-2 group, which you're in as well,
mm-hmm.
and learned about creative finance and not only how to partner with people on the equity standpoint, but how to actually get into deals more creatively, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right now, we just closed on our biggest property a couple weeks ago, which is a 7-plex. And so right now we have 40 rental doors.
Oh, wow. Yeah. 40. That's 40. Impressive, bro.
And 16 of those are long-term, or excuse me, 16 of those are short-term rentals, and the rest of them are long-term rentals.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with the real estate, how big are you trying to get with that? Like, do you plan on always just owning and buying real estate?
That's our game, yeah. So that's our equity play is we want to buy and hold real estate. Like that's what we see as being our best path to growing our net worth and to growing our financial independence, security, and freedom numbers
mm-hmm.
is through the holding of real estate.
Yeah, and it helps with taxes too, especially if you're an entrepreneur.
And it helps with taxes, yeah.
Get the cost seg those properties.
We legitimately just cost seg one of our properties that we were supposed to owe a little over $40,000 in taxes, and we cost segged one property, wiped it all out. We ended up getting a refund because we cost segged one property.
It's the biggest secret in entrepreneurship and real estate. Yeah. A lot of people don't even know about the cost seg opportunities and.
We paid
That's why ownership's so important.
We paid $3,000 for a Cossack to save our to save us $40,000. Like,
and it was worth every dollar, wasn't it?
Every single penny.
Wow. So, real estate now. You mentioned cleaning business. When did you launch the cleaning business?
We launched the cleaning business October of 2020, and we did that with the guidance of Chris Krohn.
Okay. What made you choose cleaning?
Yeah. So, part of his mentorship, he taught us his business standards, right? And so some of his business standards were that at the business, so he's got, I think there are 5 business standards. I can't quite remember all of them on top of my head, but the first one being that the business is simple, mm-hmm. right? Which means it's easy. It's simple. It's easy to understand. You can have abundance of leads. So there's plenty of leads. It's easy to delegate. It's got high profit margins, and the passion is for the customers, not for the entrepreneur, right? Which is the biggest mistake I made in the fitness industry, was that I was passionate about fitness, but our clients or customers in the fitness industry, are they passionate about fitness? People who you're training are not, right?
Dude, I've never heard that. You said passionate about the customer?
So
the customer's passionate about the business.
The customer's passionate about the business, right? Because they're the ones who ultimately feed the business. So like in the fitness industry, for example, like it is hard to sell someone on personal training. It's hard to sell someone on a life transformation program. Not so much that the result isn't amazing, like changing your life is amazing, but it's the effort required is really, really high.
Workouts suck.
The likelihood of achievement is really, really low. The duration of time in order to achieve that result is very, very long. So the only thing you have going in fitness is that the desired outcome is like, it really is life-changing.
Yeah.
But the other 3 things suck, right? And so when you understand that, it makes fitness a hard sell, right? And so we took it the other way around, and it's like, how do we get as many of these things on our side as we possibly can to make the sale of to the client really, really easy, okay? And so based on that, and based on our skill sets as well, we came down to a list of, we put all these businesses that my wife and I like that we wanted to, that we were also interested in, on a piece of paper. And then we started crossing them off based on like these standards. Like, do they meet this standard? No. And then we crossed off probably, I think, 7 of the 10 businesses that we put on this piece of paper. We crossed 7 of them off because they just didn't meet these standards. And the last 3 were a cleaning business, an arbitrage business, and then a basically like an agency business. Like we would teach people how to run their Facebook ads, right? And so based on those 3, we started doing pros and cons. And we didn't really want to do arbitrage because our goal wasn't necessarily, like, we liked real estate. We wanted to own real estate. We didn't want to just have an active business.
Yeah.
And then the agency thing was like, I didn't really like want to deal with the customers. And I didn't really think that it was something that I really wanted at the time. And so I was like, cleaning business. Awesome. Like, I have no emotional connection to cleaning whatsoever. Like, I've never cleaned my entire life. My wife's never cleaned. But I was like, I like the business from the standpoint of like, it's a done for you service. Right. And so that's how we picked it. And we launched in October of 2020, and we used the principles and everything that we had learned from the fitness business to launch that. Mm-hmm. And the only difference was that instead of us selling a done-with-you service where we help people lose weight, we did a done-for-you service where we clean their houses.
Oh, wow.
Right? And so we understood marketing and sales at a relatively high level, but we had no fulfillment experience whatsoever. So, like, my wife was the one who actually had to learn how to clean, right? And she spent the first 30 days learning how to clean and making a lot of mistakes. Like, we had clients who we served in those first 30 days where we just did it for free, basically. Like, we ended up refunding their money because we weren't very good at it, right? And so she did an amazing job.
So you guys
job.
Ruined it yourself starting out.
Yeah, so like I did the selling to start out. I did the marketing and sales, and my wife did the fulfillment. It's like she actually went out and cleaned. And then we ended up hiring... So we had a nanny. We ended up moving her from a nanny to our first cleaner within the first 30 days. And that's how we kind of started the business.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What market were you in when you launched that?
So we were in our local market, which was in Bozeman, Montana. Yeah.
You took this idea and started this in Bozeman, Montana.
Yeah.
How many people live out there?
It's a small town. It's like, the town's like 50,000. The the valley is 100,000 people, so it's a pretty small town.
And it's been successful.
It's crushing it. It's doing really, really well.
So,
yeah.
Just imagine if you were to bring it out to an area like Phoenix,
yeah.
A number of opportunities. It's like, wow. So, you took that in a small town and you blew it up.
Yeah.
What kind of numbers are you guys currently doing in that?
So, for the last 3 months, we've been hovering around $50,000 a month in revenue, and it runs about a 25% profit margin, and that's fully outsourced. Like, I don't literally spend an hour a week, and that's me and Katie and two of our top employees. Like, we just do like a visionary meetings, that we call it, where we talk about our numbers and we talk about the vision of the company. And so that's the only time I spend with it. My wife, she is doing the recruiting, so she's the one who's hiring and onboarding our, what we call them, our Sparkle bosses. And then she's also doing like daily meetings, like daily huddles with our team as well. So she probably spends 10 hours a week on that business. So yeah, I mean, it's a cool business for sure.
So you guys started that business as pretty much owner operators.
Yeah.
And then now you're pretty much owner investors to where, yeah. It's like you said, you only spend about an hour a week in that business. When you first started, like, how long did you have to be the owner operators for?
Yep. So we had this plan. So this was part of Chris's plan. They taught us was a 4-step launch sequence. Mm-hmm. So the first 30 days was us just testing it to make sure that, number one, that we could actually do the business, that we had the skills to do the business, and we actually wanted to do the business. Mm-hmm. So after that first 30 days, like, we set a goal of, I think, $7,000 of revenue that we wanted to hit that month. It was like, this is like our test to see if we wanted to continue the business, right? I think we only did like $4,500, but I was like, I like it. Like, I think that we can actually do this.
Yeah. Right?
So even though we were short of our artificial goal that we hit, I got enough traction and enough belief in the business. I was like, we could actually do this.
Yeah.
So that was the first 30 days. The next 30 days, we actually, so that was end of October. So beginning of November, we actually had a trip planned to Texas that December, where we were going to go down for the whole month. We were actually going to go down and hang out with the Hormozies for the whole month of December. So within that first 30 days, Katie outsourced the cleaning to our nanny, and then she moved into the sales role, so I moved me out of it. I sold the fitness business, and so I went to really not being in the cleaning business at that point right away. And so our whole plan was to scale this out right away because we had other businesses already going on, and we were already in real estate at that point as well. So our whole plan was just to get this thing up and going and to offload it as quickly as possible. And so Katie, while she was doing her first 30 days of cleaning, she was also developing SOPs. I was developing SOPs for the marketing and sales. And so after those first 30 days, I taught Katie how to sell, right? The marketing, I kept the marketing because it was relatively low amount of time. And then Katie taught our nanny how to actually clean. And so that's how we started developing the SOPs. And then from there, it was just a matter of slowly starting to build our team. So then we went from one cleaner to hiring more cleaners, and So
how hard has that been to find good labor? Because ever since the pandemic has happened, like, businesses are just sinking and struggling because they can't find good labor. So what has that challenge been like?
The labor market for the cleaning is definitely the challenge in the business.
Mm-hmm.
That's our challenge anyway. And we've been learning how to hire and learn how to fire cleaners, because ultimately our weakest leg in that stool, and it's really like a stool for the cleaning business, is our fulfillment. So like, we're actually not product experts. So it's been hard for us to know like what a good cleaner looks like, not just from a standpoint of skill sets, but also like what character traits do they have. And that's the thing that we started now that we're really honing in on, is that now we understand what a good cleaner looks like from a skill set standpoint. Now, the next thing that we're looking at when we're onboarding or when we bring on new Sparkle bosses, new cleaning technicians, is character traits, right? We want people to be consistent. We want them to be reliable. We want them to be service-based. And so these are the things that we are actively looking for when we're hiring people. So now we can actually have somebody who we can continue to grow with and build a culture with, rather than having this revolving door.
Right.
So I think there's always challenges, and you just gotta understand like where you're, like, ultimately us as entrepreneurs, like, we take responsibility. So it's not necessarily the market. Like, some markets are definitely better than others, but like, how do we get better at hiring? How do we get better on onboarding? How do we get better at creating a culture? How do we create a better environment that that someone's like, I want to work for you, right? I want to work for your cleaning company. So yeah, but the market's definitely been the most the biggest challenge of that business.
But you guys figured it out, so yeah. That's the most important thing.